Hello, excellent listener. Thank you for downloading and listening to Worst Foot Forward podcast. Like all podcasts, we rely on not just your love, but your enthusiasm. So if you are enjoying this podcast, and even if you are a first-time listener and think you're going to enjoy this podcast, and that little bit ding there is the sound of the thought of you enjoying the podcast, please do us one very simple favour. Please subscribe to the podcast on whatever your podcast app of choice. Please rate it and review it again on iTunes or Stitcher. And best of all, if you really like it and think you've got mates who will really enjoy it, recommend it to them. Even to the extent of manhandling their mobile phone device, hitting subscribe on there, and then leaving them to their own devices. Anyway, that's enough from me. Enjoy what's about to come.
Good news, guys. John Candy died of a heart attack.
Okay, cool. That's fine.
And welcome to Worst Foot Forward, where we celebrate the worst things in life. I'm Barry McStay, and each week I, my co-host, and our guests get together to propose our candidates for the title of the world's worst something. Everyone likes an underdog story, a tale of bravery and perseverance in the face of overwhelming odds. David versus Goliath, J.K. Rowling's rise to success, Leicester City winning the league. But what do people love more? An underdog story where the underdog actually still loses. The Spartan 300, the Jamaican bobsleigh team, Eddie the Eagle. If you want a top Hollywood film made about you, preferably starring John Candy, you've got to be shit and really, really play the fuck-up angle. Oh, and ideally be set during the Winter Olympics for some reason. And curling up alongside me this week is the extremely curly Ben Vandervelde. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Barry.
Because curling's a Winter Olympic sport.
Yeah, no, I got
yeah,
that.
Good.
I got
the link. Underline the really laboured pun that started with David versus Goliath and eventually found its way via John Candy.
You managed to, like, in that introduction, take me through a variety of aspects of my personality, the Old Testament,
yeah,
reggae, and ski jumping.
Yeah.
Well, two out of three. Also, I love the idea of John Candy appearing in the film 300.
Could you imagine?
Yeah. Tonight, boys, we dine in hell. And I'm concentrating very much on the dine part of that sentence.
This is Encarta. What? Oh, Sparta? What's Sparta? Take two, guys.
Encarta. There's
that's a reference, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh,
I remember. It's a literal reference.
Yeah. That's what, like, I think I actually spent more time reading Encarta than I did playing whatever games came with my 1996 Packard Bell.
It was basically Hearts, wasn't it, and Minesweeper.
I'm not trying to work
or
it.
Or maybe Minesweeper 2, The Revenge of the Mind.
Minesweeper 2, where you're actually playing Princess Diana going out in Cambodia and trying to make amends. Anyway, talking of Princess Diana,
it is best segue ever.
It is time to introduce our guest. He is very much the Prince of Hearts of the comedy. He is a comedian, an actor, musician, and owner of the meanest scissors and comb in the West. It is barber to the stars, the wonderful Mr. Paul Sweeney.
Hello.
Hello, Paul.
First word successfully said.
Yeah. It's out there now. There's nothing I can do about that. I will worry about it when I get home.
It's cool. You were more steady and competent than either of us.
Yeah. John Candy featured quite heavily in my youth. Not in a weird sort of uncle buck.
I think he features heavily wherever he is.
Yeah. That's the nature of his waistline. Or was. It's not there anymore.
John Candy's dead, children.
Sleep tightly. Night night.
This one's for the millennials.
That's how I say goodnight to my kids. Night night. Sleep tight. John Candy's dead.
Okay,
he's really good in Home Alone.
He's not in Home Alone.
Isn't that him? Isn't the trucker? Is he not the trucker in Home Alone?
Yeah. Oh no. Yeah. No. With the band. He's not the trucker. Yeah. It's the band. It's the clarinet. But no, it's not clarinet. The polka band.
That's him, isn't it?
Fuck. No, you're right. He is.
Were they the dudes that were in Star Wars as well? In the cantina.
I recognise this song. Yeah. Macaulay Culkin's hiding inside the bass drum. Play louder, boys.
So each week we ask our guests what they are the worst at in the world. Paul.
Yes.
Have you any deep dark secrets you want to confess?
Loads of secrets.
I killed John Candy.
It was me.
Did he die of diabetes? Because if he did, that's a horrible bit of nominative determinism.
Let's ask Wikipedia. Carry on. I think
he died of a heart attack.
Okay, fingers crossed.
Ice down for a heart attack.
Good news, guys. John Candy died of a heart attack.
Okay, cool. That's fine.
Right.
And I think I found a new good night for my kids. Right night, sleep tight.
No, what are you terrible at, my friend?
Probably relationships. Come on, let's be original.
Yeah. You're the first one to say that, actually.
Am I?
Yeah, we're many episodes in.
Everyone else is lying, then. I've never had a successful one.
But what do you measure success by, then?
But still being in one.
Yeah. Because does that mean, like, if someone is, like, in a relationship or married for 50 years, and then one of the partners either dies or then decides to divorce them in a shit golden wedding anniversary present?
Yeah.
That's an unsuccessful relationship.
That's an unsuccessful relationship. It doesn't matter how long it goes on for. If you get knocked out,
I think if you're...
It's like boxing, isn't it? Only, like, I'm boxing with, like, knitted gloves on. Yeah.
I think if you're... seeking a partner who's immortal, you've set your standards unreasonably high.
Yeah, that's the problem.
So this week, given Paul's expertise with a scissors and comb, mm-hmm. we felt we had to talk about the world's worst haircut. How did you get into hair?
It really was just a joke that went terribly wrong. My surname is Sweeney, and I thought it would be hilarious about 4 years ago to go and train as a barber. Genuinely, that's it. That's the only reason.
Was it the prelude to an Edinburgh show?
It was going
A parent of mine has not died yet. I need to come up with some other way.
So I need to invite them to the barbershop, slit their throat, and that's the fucking 45-minute dip sorted.
Everyone was bored about my jokes about relationships, so I thought I need to instigate some other humour in my life. How about living like a replica life of a fictional murderer? Why not?
And that's why my Edinburgh 2017 show is going to be called Vanda Hindley, the musical.
I just came up with a really good title for an Edinburgh show, and that required me to know how to cut hair, and it was literally Sweeney's Cutting the Fringe. That is it. And then I went and spent nearly £4,000 on a 9-week course to learn how to cut hair and shave men.
I mean, you'd have a fair job on your hands with Ben Van Veld.
My hair is currently at mid-level.
I mean, which is terrifying. I would hate to see you full...
Turned all the way up to 11.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Paul is responsible for getting my hair ready for one of my posters and making it look amazing. So I've got quite long, curly hair. And Paul used God knows how many cans of...
Hairspray. Every can.
All of the cans in North London to make it look like I'd stuck my hands in the electricity sockets and it was all popping out of my head like scruffle pater.
Climate change was a hoax until Ben Van needed some hairspray. Worst haircut is where we're going to start, and we're going to start with the most hirsute of the three of us, with Ben.
I started off just having a little look into some classic, terrible haircuts, and the real classic is the mullet.
Yeah.
Business at the front, party at the back.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know who first coined the term mullet?
I do, because I looked it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Paul?
I imagine, was it Chris Waddle? Football jokes, he's got them all.
That's lovely. I mean, that would sound brilliant in his Geordie accent.
Yeah.
I've got a cracking mullet.
Mullet.
It's the Beastie Boys, isn't it?
It was the Beastie Boys.
The earliest sort of recorded usage of it. I like that Beastie Boys song. It's mullet, what's it called?
Mullet head.
It's called Mullet Head. It basically has instructions for doing the haircut in the middle of it.
Does it?
Yeah, it's the lyrics.
Do you have the lyrics?
Yeah, the lyrics are number one on the side and don't touch the back. Number six on top and don't cut it whack jack. I'm sure that's exactly how they said it. And then at the end it says, cut the sides, don't touch the back. You're like, Okay.
I love the fact that the Beastie Boys were both lyrical and instructional.
Yeah.
That's cracking. Was that part of your barber training to listen to that song?
It actually was. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The first 3 days we listened to that on loop for 24 hours. It was like Nazi torture. Yeah.
There is even, there's a much creepier version that goes back to Victoria times. You might see like photos of prison Edgar Allan Poe had one, which is called the Skullet, which is basically bald on top, but long at the back.
Yeah. The Bill Bailey.
But Bill Bailey makes us look distinguished.
Whereas Poe wrote horror stories and was an alcoholic. There's a place called the Mullet Peninsula in County Mayo, which looks like a mullet. It's Willet in Irish means isthmus. It's just like a peninsula hanging off the side of Ireland down the back of it.
So
like a mullet.
Is your suggestion for the world's worst haircut going to be the Republic of Ireland?
No, just a bit of County Mayo.
Okay. So,
cut that out.
Superman had a mullet as well.
I read about this as well. So Superman died in a 1993 comic, and then when he was resurrected, bafflingly, he was resurrected with a mullet.
Yeah,
wow.
I'm presuming that next time Superman dies, he's going to be resurrected with a hipster moustache and a penny farthing to ride.
Yeah.
Oh, I really hope so.
Yeah.
Skinny jeans.
Yeah. You're like, finally, a Superman I can identify with. I mean, the mullet is a legendarily bad haircut, but so many of my musical and footballing heroes actually sported the mullet, like McCartney did, George Harrison
Bowie had one for a bit,
didn't he? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Bowie made the mullet look good. Bowie was sporting the mullet when he was Ziggy Stardust, like the Scarlet Mullet looked.
Yeah.
But kind of shit, but kind of good on Bowie.
If you think that's the way to disguise a mullet, is to colour it something really odd.
Yes, definitely.
If someone has a mullet, just in normal hair colour, it's really obvious, but if it's like silver, I'm just going, wow, that guy's got silver hair, and ignores the style.
Yeah, it's hiding in plain sight. Yeah. So I couldn't go for that. So the next thing I looked at, very briefly, were white men wearing dreadlocks. Because, obviously, that is a crime against humanity.
Yeah.
And the useful thing with white men wearing dreadlocks is it's something to grab them by so you can wang them around your head and throw them away like a hammer. But I had to discount those because do you know who the first white people in recorded history to sport dreadlocks were?
I'm going to go with the royal family. No?
Yeah, George III had some quite incredible wigs.
First people, as like a race?
A group.
The Pilgrim Fathers.
Very unusual theorisms.
Yeah.
No, it was the Spartan Hoplites.
Ah, cool.
So they had dreadlocks. Yeah, as part of their sort of ceremonial costume for battle, they had dreadlock hair extensions.
Amazing.
So before going Tonight We Dine in Hell, they were doing a lovely little hairdressing.
Right, and hair extensions as well.
Couldn't look at them. I had a brief look at who had the longest hair in history.
Nice.
This is divided. The official world record holder is a guy called Xi Qing Ping, who I probably butchered his name, whose hair was 5.6 metres long. The unofficial world record holder is a Vietnamese man called Dran Van May, whose hair is 6.8 metres long.
Wow.
That's several people. And he would
Why is he unofficial?
I don't know. Maybe he just didn't want it measured, or he told Norris McWhirter to go fuck himself. I've got no idea.
I don't want the fame that'll come with it.
Yeah. And he,
I just want to be left alone.
He used to wrap his hair up on his head into a basket. And it was so disgusting and unwashed that taxi drivers refused to let him in.
Yeah.
And for stupid hair, I thought it was one of the long hair guys that wasn't. There's a guy called Hans Sterniger, who was a he's an Austrian guy in Victorian times. He had the world's longest beard at 1.5 metres long.
Wow.
And he's...
How tall was he?
Slightly taller than his beard. But one day, clumsy Hans stepped on his own beard and broke his neck.
That is pure gold.
Yeah.
Wow.
And died.
Hubris.
Massive hubris.
My master.
But I am going to have to talk about my own people, because the Jews have legendarily awful hair.
Mm-hmm.
Hasidic Jews have to wear peyot, which is the curly whirlies you see at the side of the head.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, there's a bit in the Bible that says, you shall not cut the hair from the side of your head. And the way a rabbi described it to me is it's one of those laws in the Torah that have no reason to do them other than obedience and faith. So you just do them to keep God happy,
which
was one of those times in Bible class where I went, I'm out.
So you must not cut the hair on the side of your head. Why? I just feel like it.
Yeah, because God says so, yeah. Essentially.
But
was
it's
the
literally that bit, though, isn't it? It's the side burn. It's just there. Why aren't they rocking, like, really nice, like, 70s chops or something?
Yeah, I couldn't understand that. I don't really know why they sort of have it. It goes out from the head, doesn't it? And becomes an independent little corkscrew rather than the sideburn.
Can you open a bottle of wine with it?
If it's hard gelled enough.
Hairspray.
Yeah. But the worst thing with the payoff is that it's not just the fact that it's curly whirlies, is that because often they're wearing the big strimal hats with the, you know, the big Russian bear hats, they shave the head. So you've got a shaved head down the middle with curly whirlies at the side. Like,
incredible.
Like some weird neck curtain thing going on. It's not just the Hasidic men who have their hair shaved either. It's, of course, the Hasidic women as well.
Yeah.
Because they have to wear shaitels.
The sort of wimple things.
Yeah, wimple wig things to show that it's a modesty thing. There was a bit of an issue in the early 21st century when some of the shaitels, the wigs, being manufactured in India, it was discovered that the hair was coming from a Hindu temple. And there was an issue with the rabbinical council in Israel that said, oh, that might be a bit like idolatry. And so for a while, there were unkosher shaitels.
I've got a great headpiece thing about wigs. In December 2006, Sunita Williams, who was on the ISS, the International Space Station, cut her hair in space and donated her ponytail to a charity called Locks of Love in Florida, which provides hair pieces to sick children who don't have money. So it's combined with about six.
You make that sound like the children can't afford their own hair.
They don't have the money. Well, it's America. Healthcare is a mess. but they, it's combined with other ponytails to make not a wig. It's more of a sort of a silicon cap. It's like a suction cup on your head, so it's even more secure than
like
a wig.
So like Lego hair.
Yeah. Imagine being the kid who gets given that wig and go, "This was in space. You're wearing space hair."
That is the coolest hair in the world.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to nominate myself for worst hair anyway.
It was bound to happen sometime.
Not now. I finally found the haircut that I want. I was born with a double crown and like a cowlick at the front. I had a double side parting. And if you look at photos of me when I'm 8 years old, ironically, I look like a member of the Hitler Youth. That's what I was born with. And then I was unaware of how shit it was until I was 11. And then one day my hairdresser went, "We need to sort this shit out." And we brushed it all back. So I had this, like, terrible, like, Elvis haircut.
Nice.
So I literally went from early 1950s to mid 1950s in my hair. But it was like it was gelled back. It was horrible.
Wow.
And then I was like, oh, hang on. No, this is the mid 90s. I know what I need. Curtains. So I went from that to gelled curtains. Mm. And I got bullied a lot at school, which is obvious because I'm perform for a living.
Rightly so, given your choice of haircuts.
Well, no, exactly. Yeah. That is the only piece of bullying that I agree with. In the same way that the only Nazi policy that I agree with was the bombing of Coventry, because fucking look at it. I agree with my bullies. Mm. So my nomination is the series of three haircuts that I went through between the age of 5 and 16.
Are you not going to talk about the colour of your hair when you went to drama school?
Oh, okay. No, but I will defend this to a hilt. When I got to 16, I discovered dyeing my hair,
let's call it killing it.
There's a beautiful feeling like bleaching your hair and having all the pores in your hair open and then putting on cool hair dye. Oh, love it. Probably the stupidest one I had was I dyed my hair orange and then had black handprints on my hair. And then I went on holiday to Amsterdam and I would just have stoners following me to put their hands on my head. Like I was some sort of power source for them.
Yeah, amazing.
I had that. I had a roadkill haircut where it was bright orange with a tire track going from the bottom right to the top left.
Oh, wow.
And that went up in a mohawk. And what I was telling Paul about before the podcast, I had traffic lights down the side of my head and a zebra crossing down the middle, which I thought looked terrific. But that was fun.
It's not.
You like,
but no, I will stand by all of my decisions to dye my hair. But what I was born with and what I tried to battle it with originally, that's the worst haircut
in
the world.
You're a real hero, Ben.
Thanks, pal.
I'm going to talk a little bit about my theories. I also am going to talk about some of my appalling choices in hairstyles. because obviously I didn't become a barber until about 4 years ago. So then I was, prior to that, at the mercy of other individuals. I went through a few different looks. Most of them associated to decades. A lot of them can be blamed because of drugs. And I have a theory with this, that actually every popular men's hairstyle of a decade can be attributed to the most popular drugs within that decade. So when you
like skirts get higher or lower depending on the changing economy.
Yeah.
Depending on the drug trade.
Yeah, depending on what drugs hairdressers are doing at the time. Depends on the sort of haircut that you get given when you go to the hairdressers. So, for instance, when you look at the, you know, the cannabis and the psychedelics that were being used from the kind of mid-60s up until the late 70s, you then look at the haircuts and you think, like, they're incredibly long.
Yeah.
Hair. It's very tactile, isn't it?
And
it's...
also, people were too sleepy to do any haircuts.
Precisely. Like, if you're stoned, then you're not going to want to take much off, so you convince your client to grow it out. If you're on LSD, long hair is like a trip in itself, right? You can just get lost in it. So it's amazing. So if you get the combination of client on LSD and barber that's stoned, barber can't be bothered to cut long hair, so that's fine. And client on LSD is just lost in their own wonderful world of loveliness.
Oh, right? And you could put a shampoo or conditioner on them, and as it sort of goes down their face, they'll go, my head is actually melting.
And drifting into it. And there's nothing better than having your hair washed when you're on hallucinogenics as well.
Yeah.
I find that to be, I used to find that. I don't condone drugs now, but I did. but yeah, that whole like having like a shower head and someone washing your hair, just one of the best feelings.
So in the early, like in the Edwardian age, when they were all on cocaine,
yeah,
and heroin, they were doing really nice, neat hair to sort of cover up everything else that was going on.
Yeah, precisely. Like the 80s was just cocaine, right?
Yeah.
80s was solid cocaine. Some of the most obnoxious haircuts you've ever seen. Right? Of course they were, because everyone's like, I'm super confident with this. Lack of seagulls. What are you doing? I'm backcombing your hair and then I'm going to push it all forwards. And that was the 80s, wasn't it? That was the wonderful 80s.
I just wanted to pop in. I forgot a thing about my hairdresser that I forgot to tell you. So until I was about 25, I went to the same hairdresser as my mum. Cracking guy called Barry. And Barry has the...
I like him already.
He has the single greatest career change in history. Because he went from being a pro-amateur boxer to a hairdresser.
Wow.
I think Kenneth Williams' dad was the same as well. I think I'm certain Kenneth Williams' dad was a hairdresser. And he also, I think, had been a boxer and gave Kenneth a set of boxing gloves as a present. Wanted him to be a boxer.
That backfired.
They ran as far away from that as possible. Yeah, I think Kenneth Williams found hairdressing too butch.
So where did we get up to? We were 80s, obnoxious haircuts. The 90s, you move into like the whole rave culture, ecstasy, right?
Yeah.
And that, like, as far as haircuts are concerned, it's a mess, isn't it? Curtains, undercuts, faux hickens.
What's a faux hickens?
It's like a floppy mohican.
David Beckham had a faux hawk or a mohawk.
Faux hawk, yeah, which is again like a softer. But I had the faux hawk. I went through the faux hawk frosted tip phase. That was really nice. A very patient girlfriend of mine just frosting my tips on a Sunday night.
I had an ex-girlfriend who had to shave my head bald for a play I was in. A play I was in with Barry's husband, in fact. And as she did, like bicking
she's,
it.
She's still in there.
She's still in my hair, yeah.
Macheting through.
Yeah. It was probably the time at which our relationship began to fall apart. she was bicking the back of my head and crying, going, I'm finding you less attractive with every stroke. Are you taking us into the 21st century now with the hair?
21st century, let's have a look at haircuts. It's been the rise of sort of dignified haircuts, I suppose, to a certain extent, with like the whole chap scene coming through.
Yeah. Yeah.
And going back to very traditional ways of men looking slick and smart and haircuts finally starting to make sense, right? Coming at it from a barber's perspective, like a classic haircut, everything makes sense. It all There's no disconnections. Everything sits where it should do. It all looks really, really nice, and it grows out like it's supposed to. And it will carry on looking like a haircut for 6 weeks until you need to have it cut again. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. But then footballers have come in and bastardized it.
And they ruin everything.
They really do. And they've created like a kind of modern twist on a classic haircut. It's skin fade central. Everyone's like bicking the sides of their heads, not just the back of them, not the head entirely, but just like really harsh, over accentuated. Again, maybe there's a little bit of cocaine coming in. Who knows? maybe it's the cocaine. Maybe it's you know, too many wheatgrass smoothies. Maybe it's a combination of absolutely everything, just amalgamated in one big mess. No one has an identity anymore. It's just vomit.
Hmm. Now you've reminded me of that. I think I might want to change my suggestion.
To Jibril Cissé.
No, not to Jibril Cissé. As much as I sorry to step all over That's your all suggestion. Right. As much as I admire the batshit crazy Jibril Cissé, and as much as I hate my hair for an awful long time, Andy Carroll. Andy Carroll, oh, formerly Castle of Nine. Yeah, Andy Carroll got cornrows.
Oh, what?
There is one thing for a white person to have dreads, but cornrows is a step above. And what was particularly bad about the cornrows, they were so shit that Alan Shearer refused to pass the ball to him until he got rid of them.
Can I top trump that with style icon David Beckham?
Please do.
Had cornrows.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, wore them throughout the 90s, and Birkenstocks, and a sarong.
Yeah.
You remember that phase where he did cornrows?
Was that all like, at the same time?
Yeah, that was all at the same... It was, oh my God, it was sensory overload. Too much.
I'm not sure how he's got the style icon tag, really. It seems like...
Thing is, he looks good now, Beckham, you know, because he's going for the modern chap look. It really suits him.
Yeah, but I think he was pushing too hard to be a status symbol. Like, do you know what I mean? It was like, you've got to be out there and extreme. And also, it's the 90s, and no one looked good in the 90s.
Yeah, I like the revisionist history on 90s fashion, because I remember, not that I was in any way a style icon in the 90s, but you look at like late 90s fashion, you just go, well, this will sort of stand the test of time. And given 15 years, it's almost as terrible as the 80s.
Oh my God, yeah, I watched the first episode of The West Wing again recently, and Jesus Christ, those suits are baggy.
But that's
like 99 or 2000 the West Wing started, and you think that's not long ago, but oh my God, everything looks so old fashioned
already.
That's
American tailoring, though, for a really long time was loose fit. Everything's loose fit,
you know. Why? It's because they based it all on the body shape of John Candy.
It's true, we hadn't mentioned him for a while.
Yeah.
So Paul, background.
What's your selection going to be for the worst?
My selection? Well, I mean, I've taken elements of most of the decades I've spoken about, and I've had haircuts. I did a little transitional phase. I, similarly to you, Ben, had really long hair at one point, sort of past my shoulders. It was my 70s phase. I was rocking quite a bushy Tom Selleck-esque moustache. And I was a big fan of a European Cup bootleg flair.
Just to clarify for listeners, your 70s phase took place in what year?
2010, I went for a 70s resurgence. I was wearing Cuban-heeled cowboy boots. I have a lovely pair of burgundy cord flares and a cropped sort of denim jacket.
Is your tailor Mr. Ben?
Yeah. One particular evening in Liverpool Street Station, people had told me, but I hadn't realised quite how convincingly I cut a female form from the rear. Until one night after a gig in central London, I was making my way back home. It was a Friday night. I was still at Liverpool Street Station looking at the board, and I was groped by a drunken businessman who had assumed that I was a lady. And also that it was perfectly acceptable to physically assault me in the middle of a train station.
Wow.
Needless to say, that man got quite a shock when I turned around and confronted him, to the point where he fell over. I didn't touch him.
You didn't Jedi mind push him.
Didn't lay a finger on him. It was the shock of my hairy 1970s bass player face. The fact that I wasn't a woman that caused him to fall over on the floor. And I thought that was effective enough, so I decided to sort of walk away. I think it was quite humorous. But yeah, not long after that, I decided to cut my hair off, just because I was, tired of being mistaken for a lady from behind. But before all of this, the worst haircut I have ever been given or convinced into having was a diagonal Mohican that was bleached blonde. And the rest of my head was completely shaved down to the skin. And it was the week before my graduation
theatre
school.
No.
How did you fit the mortarboard on?
We didn't have
a Geordie angle.
Yeah.
He just mined one.
Yeah. I am reminded that on that very special occasion when I qualified in theatre studies, dance and drama, that I had one of the worst haircuts I've ever been given. It started on the front left side of my head and finished on the right back side. Wow. And went into a mullet. It's
all
yes.
Because the important thing with being an actor is that you've got to be a blank canvas and versatile.
Yeah. Yeah, we all get the individuality beaten out of you at drama school. Just to the end.
It was like right at the end, I was like, I can't be a clone. Oh, and I forgot also lines shaved out in the eyebrow. You know, do you remember?
I don't know why, and I think you're the first white person I've ever met who said they did that.
Yeah, let's extend this haircut to your eyebrows.
Wow, give yourself go faster stripes in your eyebrows.
Did you go to a professional to ask them to do this?
I went to an award-winning hair salon. The person who did it actually used to cut David Beckham's hair.
That should have been the warning sign.
Yes!
So, I read a little bit about hair superstitions, first and foremost. Mm-hmm. In India, it's bad luck to wash your hair on Thursday.
So hang on, if you're an Indian guy and you ask an Indian girl on a date and they just go, I'm washing my hair tonight, it's a Thursday, get in the van.
Get in the van? That is predatory. Get in the van.
It's a Thursday, get in the van. And in Scotland, where your good lady wife is from, Ben, if magpies steal your hair after a haircut to use them in their nest, you will die within a year.
What sort of outdoor hairdressers are people getting their hair done in?
I know, and you know, in the summer, end of term, the hairdressers just like to do the cutting outside. It's more
fun. Al fresco. Sure.
Yeah. Also, I told you about the astronaut with her haircut and wigs. Samuel Pepys had a periwig. And on the 3rd of September 1665, he wrote, put on my coloured silk suit, very fine, and my new periwig. Bought a good while since, but durst not wear it, because the plague was in Westminster when I bought it. And it is a wonder what will be the fashion after the plague is done as to periwigs, for nobody will dare to buy any hair for fear of the infection, that it had been cut off people dead of the plague. So they were making wigs from corpses, and often from lunatic asylums, as they were at the time, as depicted in Sweeney Todd, The Life of Paul Sweeney.
Yeah.
So they were afraid that wigs would have fleas and it would carry the infection of plague victims.
So he had a poisoned asylum zombie wig.
Yeah, that is essentially what Simon Pepys was worried he had. I mean,
wow.
I feel like him putting on the periwig is very much the opening scene of The Mask. Then he turns green. And then he dies.
Yeah.
That's the plot of The Mask, right?
Yes. Yeah, Cameron Diaz has to do a lot of heavy lifting in that.
And the Victorians, I read a great book called Mrs. Walker's Female Beauty as Preserved and Improved by Regimen, Cleanliness and Dress.
Snappy title.
It's a real page turner, guys. Mm. And she writes, Mrs. Walker writes, the yolk of a couple of eggs beat till they form a cream to be rubbed into the hair and then washed out with tepid water, well brushed and wiped, as bestowing the most silky and beautiful appearance. So basically, meringue in the hair, guys, is the key to success.
Hair meringue.
Yeah, mm. I very much would like that to be a challenge on Channel 4's Great British Bake Off when it comes back. First challenge, the hair meringue. And I was like, this has really changed.
Yeah, it's Paul Hollywood and Gok Wan presenting it together.
I'd really like that. And Nicky Clark as
well. Yeah. The perfect casting. Yeah. I read a bit about scalping as well, because that's a pretty hard haircut to get. Mm. So the practice of removing the actual scalp.
Oh, God, yes.
There was a tribe, the Dahomey Amazons, from one of my favourite ancient kingdoms, the Dahomey Kingdom, where Dahomey's
live. Where my Dahomey's at.
Where my Dahomey's at. which is now in Benin. There was an all-female regiment in the army called the Ahosi, which means the king's wives.
The Dahomey Amazons are my favourite basketball team in the world.
They were like the king's bodyguards, or the closest regiment to king when they went into the battle. And there was evidence that they carried out scalpings as well. Scalpings in popular culture sort of associated a lot with Native American Indians. Done on both sides, guys. There was a lot of scalping carried out by the French and by the American British settlers in North America as well.
Are you telling me that the white American settlers like to involve in physical torture?
Yeah, yeah.
That is staggering.
I know, it's a real, left field story, this.
Yeah.
But yeah, in Massachusetts, in 1697, a woman called Hannah Dustin, she escaped from some Abenaki Indians who had kidnapped her, and she scalped all 10 of them. And the Massachusetts General Assembly paid her for 2 men, 2 women, and 6 children scalps.
Well, that's sort of like, there's quite a big historical precedent of people who were engaged in sort of like slash and burn or murder or genocide would have to remove a bit of a victim to prove that they did it. All of Genghis Khan's soldiers, if they were going to like just kill everyone in a village, they had to chop off the ear of every victim, and they'd count the ears to prove that they'd killed all the people they had to.
Yeah. If you were being recently, you could chop both ears off.
Yeah, two people.
It doesn't have to be the right ear only.
Well, no, but surely if you hand in...
Turn it inside out. Don't you?
Turn it, yeah.
Ah,
yeah,
clever.
Yeah, yeah.
Smart,
yeah. That old trick.
I like the way we all... Oh, yeah, that's the obvious solution.
Yeah, yeah.
But I have two... I found this story and thought this was the worst haircut ever. But then I have one more after that. I read about a guy called Mario Zarza Manresa. He was a Spanish doctor who was kidnapped in the Democratic Republic of Congo in 2010, in April 2010. And he was rescued about 2 weeks later. He'd been traveling along the Congo River, and he was kidnapped by some rebels. And he was shaved by the rebel leader, his hair and his body hair, because, according to a government minister, this rebel was a leader who believes in magical fetishes made with hair and body hair of whites. So apparently, there's a belief in the Congo that wearing charms of your things taken from your enemy would turn your enemy's bullets into water. So when they would hit you, they would just turn into water. And because the enemy in the 19th century, the 18th, 19th century, when the British the European settlers were arriving, were all white, obviously the hair of white people was the enemy at the time. So that was the most potent thing to wear. So they shaved this poor Spanish doctor 6 years ago, because they wanted to use his hair for like charms and bits of armor and stuff.
Wow.
So yeah, holiday ruined. But that is not my worst haircut. My worst haircut is the ducktail style. So that's a bit quiffy at the front and then sort of dragged down and inwards at the back. So you sort of have a little sort of a crevasse at the back of the hair.
So the back of your head looks like a duck's ass.
Yeah, exactly that. It's it's called the duck's ass in America, or because the Americans hate swearing, the DA. But it was more commonly known as the ducktail back in the day. Ooh, I guess we have to do ooh every time we say it now, don't we?
Should we just get a button with that?
Like a shock jock.
Yeah.
So the ducktail was really popular in 30s and 40s Los Angeles among the Mexican community. So during the Great Depression in the 30s, there was a big period of ghettoization of Mexican immigrants who'd arrived in America. And rather like today, there was a whole thing about kicking Mexicans out of America. Racial tensions were really high. Communities tended to band together. So Mexican communities looking for their own identity formulated this one based on some of the popular musicians of the time who wore zoot suits. Some really baggy trousers sort of cinched in at the bottom and big flamboyant jackets, often with a pork pie hat and a watch chain. Very sort of snazzy, jazzy look. And it was often accompanied by this ducktail, hairstyle. Yeah, sorry, I got it first.
All three of us will get it.
Is that when you get the Zoot Suit Riots?
This is exactly what I'm coming to.
Yeah, which incidentally is an amazing song by, I think, the Cherry Poppin' Daddies.
Yeah, it is indeed. These sort of Mexican teenagers and young men particularly would call themselves pachucos. That sort of was their identity. They'd move around as groups of pachucos wearing the zoot suits and the hair. And then in March 1942, the War Production Board gave outlines for suit making and restrictions on fabric use, because America had entered the war at this stage.
Mm-hmm.
They had to wear really slim fitting suits, use as little fabric as possible.
That relates over here as well. During the 1920s, lapels were a lot bigger on suit jackets. And then when we went into the Second World War, for rationing the lapels on suit jackets became a lot smaller.
Yeah, because and women were wearing trousers because they used less than big, heavy skirts or so on. But obviously, many pachucos already had their zoot suits and continued to wear them. And there was a net. Apparently, there was a black market of sort of underground tailoring where they'd still go to get their zoot suits because that was their. It was their identifier. It gave them a place to fit in. Around the same time, in Los Angeles, you get a lot of US Army all being stationed in LA, ready for deployment to the Pacific arena. So you've got all of this stuff coming together. Really, like, it was a tinderbox just waiting to go off. A couple of initial skirmishes eventually led to full-blown riots. We had thousands of sailors marching down streets, assaulting Latinos, attacking people for wearing these zoot suits because they were seen as anti-American. And obviously, there's the undercurrent of them being the racial undercurrent as well. There was a group of cops who called themselves the Vengeance Squad, who were basically off-duty cops who went around.
Jesus, who had literally stepped out of a DC comic.
Yeah, who were going. Yeah. And like at the end of the riot, it took several days of rioting. There were 150 people injured. 500 Latinos were arrested for rioting and vagrancy, even though, by and large, they were the ones who were being attacked and assaulted. Eleanor Roosevelt said, question goes deeper than just the suits. It is a racial protest, and the LA Times accused Eleanor Roosevelt of being a communist sympathizer and stirring racial discord.
Whilst being First Lady.
Whilst being First Lady of the United States and trying to like find some nuance in the story. They're like, how fucking dare you?
Yeah.
But the reason I'm talking about all of this is because the DuckTales, there you go, Ben, your turn.
Sorry.
Alongside the zoot suits were a big part of this, and people had their hair cut by soldiers and Marines when they so they would grab them, they would unpants them, they'd rip the suits off them, but they would also chop this ducktail hairstyle off them and replace it with sort of a military style buzz cut, short back and sides look.
Oh my god, so it's like a scalping.
I read a book about this by a guy called Mauricio Mazan called The Zoot Suit Riots, where he says basically they're mimicking their own induction into the armed forces, where they would have their identity stripped away from them, have their hair cut. So it was like a sort of a hazing.
Yeah, and like what happened to us when we went into drama school, right, guys?
Yeah, exactly. There's a quote from this book. Police and servicemen cruised Brooklyn Avenue, beat the boys from Manavia unmercifully, cut their long ducktail hair, and stripped off their clothing where possible. And there's another story about a police escort escorting some pachucos home. And on the way home, they're saying they plan to get their hair cut immediately. Their skin tone aside, wearing the suit or having the haircut was just seen as completely un-American, but also an excuse to have a bit of race, you know, a bit of racial violence.
That's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Our candidates for the world's worst hair. Are you sticking with yourself or Andy Carroll?
Oh, Andy Carroll.
All right, Andy Carroll. Ben's suggestion of Andy Carroll's cornrows. I'm really glad they've got a mention. Paul's suggestion of his own bleached diagonal mohawk with shaved head into a mullet with eyebrow lines.
And by the way, you've described that like that's a dish at a Michelin-starred restaurant.
Yeah, yeah. And my own suggestion of a ducktail in 1940s LA. I mean, I feel like if we gave Andy Carroll this award, he would immediately get injured. As happens when he comes into any form. Paul, it's just a clusterfuck of everything, isn't it?
It's a real amalgamation of terrible haircuts. It's not just one haircut, it is haircuts, plural.
Yeah.
On one head.
Yeah. Which might be disqualifying in that you've combined so many, it's not the world's worst haircut, it's the world's worst haircuts. So many.
Supersedes a haircut.
You know, I haven't picked one of mine in a while, and I think the whole racial undertone in the attacks against people with ducktails in 1940s LA.
Yeah,
with a bad haircut.
It almost feels like it's not. I mean, the ducktail sounds like a pretty awful haircut, but I almost feel like the post-ducktail,
once
they've been shaved by the American military, that's the worst haircut.
And as a white middle-class man, I would feel horrifically guilty winning the award over something with such.
You don't want to Bono the
1940s. I really don't want to Bono this whole situation, so I am happy to.
Excellent. Well, let's.
As long as I beat Ben, that's what I'm saying. As long as I beat Ben.
You're definitely second on this list.
Yeah, oh, sweet.
Let's call it the post ducktail haircut in 1940s LA, the world's worst haircut. Congratulations to all involved.
Apart from the US military, they can go fuck themselves.
Yeah.
The deceased racists involved. This comes from MSN.com. It's not so much worse news as a riddle. Tell me, guys, how on the November the 6th, 2016, was the oldest twin somehow the youngest twin in a pair of twins born in Cape Cod?
Was it because one twin was born on February the 29th and the other was born on March the 1st?
They were born November the 6th, within 31 minutes of each other, but the younger twin is the older twin. Because on November the 6th, the clocks went back in America. And daylight savings, and this twin, one the first twin, Samuel Peterson, was born at 1:39 a.m. on November the 6th, 2016, and his younger brother was born at 1:10 a.m., 29 minutes previously. Actually, 31 minutes later, but the clocks went back. These are brilliant.
Time-travelling twins.
Yeah, born 31 minutes later, but his time of birth is shown 29 minutes before his brother.
Can you imagine the fraternal arguments that is going to kick off in years to come?
The mum was saying, all the hospital staff were going, wait, what time is it? What time is it? Because there's a big clock in the wall, which it was set to go back, so it just had turned itself back. And they go, what time is it? And she was saying, I was somewhat preoccupied with bringing them into the world. I didn't care what time it was. So the reason I picked it for the worst news of the week is this is going to become the most tedious anecdote that they are going to tell for the rest of their lives. At parties, they're like interesting facts about themselves at icebreakers, at work. Every family occasion, weddings, christenings, the whole lot. You've had a child. At least it didn't have a twin. So congratulations to the Peterson family and commiserations to Samuel and Ronan wearing this millstone of a riddle around their heads for the rest of their lives. Before we wrap up, Paul, where can people get their hair cut by you and be made laugh by you and everything else in between?
You can get your hair cut by me from Wednesday to Saturday at ELP Barbershop, which is on Amwell Street, just off of Pentonville Road, nearest tube station, Angel or King's Cross. And
that was an immaculate pitch.
Yeah, thanks.
Do you have a Twitter that people can follow you on? And
I have Twitter, which is Sween Cuts Comedy, and an Instagram, which is also Sween Cuts Comedy, and a Facebook, which is just me. It's Paul Sweeney. Very rarely post on there, but I will put some gig dates up as and when.
Lovely. Meanwhile, that's all from us for Worst Foot Forward for another week. We're about to go off and shave Ben.
Yeah,
because his hair might protect us from bullets.
Yeah.
So thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you again soon. Bye.
Woo!
Thank you, Paul Sweeney, and I'm so sorry, John Candy.
It's all right, he's not gonna know. I mean, that's right, I've made a presumption that there's no afterlife. If there is an afterlife, and
there might be podcasts in it.
Oh, you know there are, but that's definitely in hell. Literally, you get to hell, and the road to hell is no longer paved with good intentions.
Are we saying that John Candy is in hell? Because I think we're making this worse.
John Candy is definitely in the Judeo-Christian hell.
No! I would like to apologise yet again to John Candy and his family.
No, so his family are probably American, therefore they probably know that he's going to hell because the majority of Americans...
Please stop digging John Candy's grave again!
Look, I've got a lot... No, I'm saying that as like, I'm going to hell, you're going to hell as well.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, the Jews and the gays. Definitely.
And at least we'll have fine, funny men entertainers to keep us company down there.
Absolutely, we will.
Thank you to Paul for joining us. And
He's going to hell as well.
He's going to hell as well, where he will do your hair for a reasonable rate. And also do some funnies. Follow him on Twitter. Do the same with us. Follow us at Worst Foot. Follow Ben at Ben Vandeveld. Follow me at BazMaxDay. And send us an email, worstfootforwardpodcast@gmail.com, if you have any suggestions of guests or topics or just general chit-chat.
Next week, our guest is our excellent friend, Bridie Lee Kennedy, who's a brilliant storyteller, comedian, writer, and currently script editor for the award-winning Gumball, which, if you haven't ever watched it, I thoroughly advise you getting some cheeky inspiration cabbage and giggling yourself silly at that joyous cartoon.
Bridie shared with us her love of teen movies. If you were a child of the 90s and noughties, then this is exactly the episode for you.